We're going to pray for these, but let's go to Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 20 through 29 of Romans 15. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. And thus I make it my ambition, this is Paul speaking, thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not, N-O-T, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. And that's, we're going to talk primarily about that verse tonight. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And this is a verse that we covered a few weeks ago, just preaching our way through the book of Isaiah. This is a prophecy out of Isaiah. Verse 22, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you guys, from coming to you. And when he says hindered, he doesn't mean, you're going to find out, he's not saying that he was hindered by the devil, you know, like a spiritual warfare. Basically, it was a divine province. It just was not God's will for Paul to go to Rome. And so he said, I've been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you, but is he going to spend a long time with them? He just says, in passing. Okay. He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. In other words, maybe some financial support once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And there have been some hard times I won't get off into that right now. Verse 27, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. So where he said previously, I was hindered in coming to you, I wasn't able to come to you, but now I'm going to be able to come, and when I come, it's going to be with God's blessing. And we're going to read a little bit, we're going to understand a little bit more about that. But let's pray over this tonight, and let's pray for Brother Lloyd, let's pray for Sister Bodie and the Bodie family. Let's pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful, Lord, to be gathered here in your word, and we do take this very seriously tonight. This is your word, God. This is your word. And we are here in reverence and respect for your word, Lord. And God, we ask, Lord, that you would touch Brother Lloyd Adams. God, touch him, touch his body, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let him feel your touch tonight. Let him feel your touch. And Lord, we pray for Sister Angie Bodie and her family during this time of loss and bereavement, Lord, that you would be a comfort to them, Lord. Be a comfort, God. Be a comfort, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. And if I can just make a little adjustment here. Okay, so let's go back up to verse 20. And Paul says something here that to me is very interesting. And it's something that I never really understood. And I can remember I'm 59 now. My best friend going to elementary school was Roy McDowell. And I remember his birthday was March the 7th, which was yesterday. And Roy turned 60 yesterday, so you know you're getting older when your best friend from elementary school just turned 60. I can remember being very young, 20, 21, 22 years old, and I was reading my Bible and trying to figure things out, and I talked to my dad about this verse, and I told him, I said, I don't understand this, where he says, "Thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation." And I can remember asking my dad and just saying, what does he mean about building on somebody else's foundation? Because, I mean, like if you look, for example, and believe me, I'm not putting myself in the office of an apostle. But, you know, okay, I've pastored here in this church for around 7 years. Before me was Ron Bodie for about 7 years. Before him was Jess Starr for several years. And, you know, each man has his, you know, contribution he makes. And then the guy after him comes and, you know, continues on and maybe builds on what that man did. So, I mean, to me, I would say, Dad, what's the problem with Paul building on another man's foundation? And I never, and to be quite honest with you, my dad didn't really know either. And I don't blame him. It was kind of perplexing that why would Paul not want to preach the gospel where Christ had already been preached? You know, and well, the reason was is he didn't want to build on another man's foundation. But why? And I'm going to propose an idea to you tonight. And again, this is not a salvation issue. You might have your own ideas and they might be better than mine. But I'm going to pose for you a possibility of what Paul's talking about here. And in doing so, we will see the responsibility of a true apostle. You've got, you know, that's an office of the ministry. You've got apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. And in the office of the apostle, he said, I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach and build something on another man's foundation. And you say, well, what's going on here? If you look at Ephesians, and this is just, I'm going to throw this out here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul wrote his church, his letter to the church of Ephesus here, he talked a little bit about the office of the apostle. And he told the church here in Ephesus, that's why it's called Ephesians, he said, so then you guys are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In other words, you used to be sinners, you used to be estranged from God, living, doing pagan religions, but now you're no longer strangers and aliens. Your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the what? Of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So I'm going to submit to you tonight that the role of an apostle was to lay a foundation. That's just what apostles did. And that's, Paul was saying, my job is not to go and preached where Christ has already been preached. My role as an apostle is to lay the foundation. And so he said, I've striven to not preach where Christ has already been preached because I don't want to build on another man's foundation, because his job, his duty as an apostle was to lay that foundation. His job was to lay that foundation. And what he does here is Paul quotes a hallmark passage from Isaiah that we covered a few weeks ago. And it's Isaiah 52. And Bill, you can go to Isaiah 52 now, but I'm going to read the rest of verse 20 and 21 here in Romans 15. He says, I've tried not to preach Christ where Christ has already been named, lest I build on another man's foundation. As it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And we covered this verse in Isaiah Remember Isaiah 53 was that chapter, the suffering servant chapter, that he was bruised for, wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities, and we hid our faces from him, and he was, we didn't esteem him. But Isaiah 52, we talked about, it says, many were astonished at you. This is speaking to the Messiah. Many were astonished at you. His appearance was marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. In other words, when Jesus was beaten and crucified at the cross, his face didn't look human. But by doing this suffering here, it says, so shall he sprinkle. And we covered this when we were going through Isaiah 52. It says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. And sprinkling, in Old Testament terms, was what a priest would do as a purification rite. And so saying that his suffering, to where his appearance would be so marred beyond human resemblance, that suffering, he would sprinkle, or purify many nations. And kings shall shut their mouths because of him. And then it says, for that which has not been told them, they're going to see. And that which they never had heard, they're going to understand. The Apostle Paul picks that up and quotes this last part of this verse here, where it says that that from that which has not been told them, they shall see, and that which they have not heard, they'll understand. He picks up on that and quotes it here, and he says, my job as an apostle is not to preach where Christ has already been preached. I'm to lay a foundation, and in doing so, it's going to fulfill Isaiah 52, where it says, and then he quotes Isaiah 52 and says, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will hear. And now here's something that I'm going to lay a little, I'm just going to kind of lay this out. Bill, can you put that map up on the screen that I almost forgot to give? But I want to show you something that's interesting here, is if you read, let me get my verses here. Okay, here we go. Somebody that's got their Bibles open, read me verse 19. Who can read verse 19 of Romans 15? Who's got that? Quick draw here. Who's the quickest? Okay.
I can read it, but I don't know what version.
That's, you know what, we'll make do with what we've got. What just go ahead and read whatever.
Even as my preaching has been accompanied with the power and signs and wonders, and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is that starting from Jerusalem and as far around as...
Oh, I've heard it pronounced several ways. Elcrinium.
Elysium. I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing, accomplishing, carrying out the full of the good news of Christ the Messiah in its entirety.
So, he has preached. He said, I have preached from Jerusalem to where? To Eliakim. So Jerusalem's right here. And Paul is saying, I have preached where Christ has not been named. And I've gone from Jerusalem all the way up here to Eliakim. And see, here's Rome, right by Eliakim. And this letter is to the church at Rome. And he said, and again, this is interesting to me, and it kind of makes this passage make sense, is he says in verse 23, and go ahead and leave the map up there, Bill. I'll just read verse 23 and 24, and then you can put it up again. He says, but now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, in other words, I've gone from Jerusalem all the way to Elcrillium, But now, guess what? Rome has already been preached. That area has already been preached. He's saying, if I preach here, I'm going to be building on another man's foundation, and that is not my job as an apostle. My job as an apostle is to lay the foundation. And so he says, and let me read this, verses 23 and 24. He says, now that I've had no longer any room to work in these regions, since I've longed for so many years, I hope to see you in passing. In other words, I'm not going to hang out very long. It's just going to be in passing. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. So what Paul had done is he started over here in Jerusalem and had preached his way in Macedonia. There was Galatia there. And then Aquileium. And then this area would have already been preached. So he was just going to stop over in Rome, say hi to them, get a little bit of financial support for them. And then he was going to go to what this map calls Hispania, or España, as they call it nowadays, or as we call it in English, Spain. And so that's what I think Paul was talking about when he said, I don't want to build on another man's foundation. I thought what he was saying was, listen, I'm an apostle. It's not an apostle's job to go in and build where stuff's already been, where Christ has already been preached. My job as an apostle, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Paul was saying, listen, it's my job as an apostle to lay the foundation. And so that was kind of gets you an idea, an insight into the office of an apostle. Interestingly enough, and I don't have the answer for this, and I know there's a biblical significance. I know there's, you know, nothing happens by chance in the Bible. It's not like, oh, wow, what a coincidence. You know, that doesn't really happen in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible for a reason and for a purpose. Okay? But Paul said, I am going to go and see you on my way to Spain. And let me just say this. Historians don't know if Paul ever made it to Spain. They said it was, obviously it was his intent to go. But nobody knows if he ever made it. And remember I mentioned that when we were traveling around raising money because we were going to Spain. And I said, I don't know if Paul ever made it to Spain, but if he didn't make it to Spain, we can go and we can. But again, I was saying that, but now I look back, I was young and just didn't know. No, I'm not an apostle. I'm sorry. Tim Wiggins, the scripture is not about you. Don't insert yourself into the scripture. But anyway, interestingly enough, Bill, go to, first of all, put 23 and 24 on there that I just read. Romans 15, 23 and 24. This is what I just read to you. But now since I no longer have any room for work, I'm going to come to you. Verse 24, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. Here's the interesting thing. Is that region, there's a little bit of debate, but the most credible archaeological evidence is, Bill, if you'll go to Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me. Did Jonah go to Nineveh? No, not right away. Definitely took the scenic route. Yeah. It says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to, it says it again, Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them the third time. Clearly mentions it. Tarshish. Most Bible archaeological books and stuff will say that Tarshish was ancient Spain. So Jonah as a disobedient prophet, and this is where I, like I said, nothing in the Bible happens by coincidence. It's all there for a reason, but sometimes we understand the reasons and other times it's that bar of soap, you know, in the bathtub that keeps slipping out of your hands. And it's interesting to me that Jonah tried to flee to Spain as a disobedient prophet. But now Paul is saying, hey, it's time for me, as being obedient, to go to Spain and preach to them. And I don't know, somewhere there's a reasoning there. Somewhere there's a connection, and I don't really know what it is. But it sounds to me as though Paul was going to the very region and the very area under the blessing of God that Jonah tried to flee through when he was being disobedient to God. And so you say, well, Brother Wiggins, what does that mean? What's the significance? You know, what can I take away from that and walk out of here and just say, wow, now I know? I don't know. I have no idea. But it's interesting. The only thing I can think of is that Tarshish was a place. Every time it's mentioned, it talks about, in the Bible, Tarshish talks about ships. And it was a big trading center and all of that. But it was a land that was destitute of any type of spiritual light. It was a land that was covered and enshrouded in darkness. And to me, it's kind of cool that, I'll just say this, and I don't know that this is what it means, but it's kind of cool that the gospel could go to places and penetrate areas, no matter how dark, no matter how bad, the gospel could go there. And that's basically what was going to happen. I read once and I'm almost done here, believe it or not. I remember once reading in a book talking about just the history after the death of Paul. And it said that some of the cities, and it named the cities, and I can't, you know, I don't even remember where I parked my car in the parking lot of Fred Meyer, so I'm not going to remember the name of any of these cities, but it named off some of these cities. And it said that the gospel message was so penetrating and so strong that he would go into cities that would be wholly given to idolatry, and they would have a great temple built to Diana. Or they would have, you know, whether it be Diana or any of the other ancient deities that they worshiped. And it said 30 years after Paul died, he was dead, you know, history says he got killed by Nero. It said that 30 years after the death of Paul, you could go to the cities that he had preached in and go into these huge temple, pagan temples, and they'd be having church. And somebody would have a scroll, an Old Testament scroll, and they would be reading from that scroll and preaching the gospel. And it said that cities that were wholly given in that first century, cities that were wholly given to the pagan lifestyle, 30 years after Paul was dead, you go back to those cities, they were Christian cities. And they were cities that had wholly converted and left it. And so I will just say that the gospel can do things to cities. And you know, when I look at how dark things are in this Pacific Northwest and just how messed up things are here, at times it's, I don't want to say overwhelming, but I just say, man, my goodness, this is just so bad. But I will tell you right now, the gospel can penetrate and can do things that that nothing else can do. And this nation is not going to be saved by the right political party. And I don't get me wrong, I vote. But I'm going to tell you that the Democrats don't have the answer, and the Republicans don't have the answer. The Libertarians don't have the answer. The Green Party doesn't have the answer. The Peace and Freedom Party doesn't have the answer. The Independent Party does not have the answer. The only hope that this nation has, the only hope that this Pacific Northwest has, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope they've got. That's the only thing that'll change it. And now I'm going to read verses 25 through 29, and we're just going to be done here tonight. So he says, I'm hoping to come and see you in Spain, or on my way to Spain. I'm hoping to stop off in Rome. And then in verse 25, he says, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints from Macedonia and Achaia. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles had come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. And then he says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And the last thing I'll say is that if you go all the way back, and I don't have it in my notes, so Bill, you don't have to, I don't have it for you to put up on the screen, but he said in Romans chapter 1, he told them, he goes, as much as is within me, I am ready to preach the gospel in Rome. And so if you would have sort of read Romans 1, you would have said, man, Paul's going to go there and he is going to put Rome on its ear. But we find out in Romans 15, yeah, he was ready to come and preach in Rome, but it was only passing through. They already had a church, and his job was not to preach Christ where Christ had already been preached. He was on his way to Spain. And so that pretty well ends us, closes us out for tonight. Any, Sister Carol Lee?
So I always thought this talked about proselytizing. You don't go into a city where a man has already established his work.
Right.
I always thought this was.
Right. No, and there's something to be. What's happened, and I've seen it happen, is that if you want to start a church, go within easy driving distance of a big church. Because a big church always has some disgruntled people all you got to do is just understand them. That are all, I'm so sorry you were treated so bad over there. Come over. And so if you want to build a church and not really dig it out of converting the lost, yeah, go. And I heard one man say once, he says, some men want to build a church within hearing distance of a church bell. He says, I want to build a church 10 yards from hell. So that I know what you're saying. Very good.
The people that he would proselyte from the church would be that is that foundation, building on that man's foundation.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Sister Kristen.
Well, when I read that verse, I just thought, you know, some men are church planters, some men are church builders. You know, it's just that his calling was not to build on another man's foundation. His calling was to begin churches.
That's exactly what it was. And that kind of leads you into what was the role of the office of an apostle. And it's kind of looking like the office of apostle was to, again, lay a foundation. And that would, in order to do that, you're going to have to go where Christ hasn't been preached there in that first century. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's. Oh, does the time change this weekend? Everybody set your clocks. we're gonna spring forward. We will spring forward. We will spring forward. Let's all stand tonight. Carl, dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight, if you would.
Jesus, thank you for a chance to gather together in your name and study your word. We're grateful, Lord, that we do have your word. And we want to not take it lightly, but consider what you've written. Lord, it's for our example, and it's our roadmap out of this life. So we thank you, and we pray that we would meditate on it, that it would grow in us, and that we would be a light wherever we're at. May we return to your house with joy. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.